At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to Odds Law, presented by Footstairs, the show that uses the odds to bring you the stories behind the sport. I'm your host, Lola Katz-Roberts, and I am joined today by my usual right-hand man, Henry Beasley. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Lola.
You're a veteran chaser at this point, aren't you?
I wouldn't quite say a veteran just yet, but a seasoned professional these days, yeah.
And bringing me smoothly on to our other panellist today, more of a novice, and making his debut in the Footstairs studio, Orlando Merrick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Honoured to be on the Footstairs sofa.
And likewise, we're honoured to have you. Now, there's the smell of bonfire smoke in the air. Mariah Carey is defrosting, and it's going to rain for the entire week. That can only mean one thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the jumps. Today's show is going to give you the lowdown on all things jumps racing, who should be in your anti-post tracker, who started the season well and with the biggest names in the sport on a collision course locked for Cheltenham this weekend, who's going to be drifting and who's going to be reeled in after this weekend's November meeting. We'll also hear from Footstairs ambassador Ben Pauling on how his team is shaping up for the weekend action and get the inside scoop from Norton Downs. Okay, and we're off. The season has just started getting going, guys. I can tell because there's a lot more oohs and ahs from around the office. Orlando, I'm going to come to you first. Some people like to call this part of the season the phony war. I think it's safe to say that period is coming to an end now. But what's the story been so far this season?
Yeah, it's been quite an odd one to start with because, as is the way in recent years, it's just not rained. And no rain really means all the big guns are there at home, they're waiting. So the likes of Henry and I are getting very excited, but can't quite get as excited as we want to. So yeah, this weekend's always the sort of, the rain has come, the big guns coming out, and you know, we're back at Cheltenham proper. Yeah, exciting.
Thank you. And I think this weekend will be the weekend when we start to see some proper movement in the markets for the big races. I'm not going to mention the C word yet, Cheltenham, just in case anyone was worrying. But I think, you know, this is the weekend where that really comes into focus. So let's dig into some prices now, Orlando. There's a British favourite for the Supreme, which feels kind of new, 7-1. My Daddy Paddy was already prominent in the Supreme anti-post market at 12-1, but that's come right into 7-1 after a classy hurdling debut. So my question for you is, are we going to see a British horse not trained by Nicky Henderson win the Supreme for the first time since Somerville Boy for Tom George in 2018?
I would love to say yes. And I would love to say, yeah, the British will outrank the Irish in that race. But we haven't even seen Willie's novice hurdlers yet. And he normally unleashes them around Christmas. Yeah, that Skelton's did look amazing. Well, pretty impressive yesterday up in Carlisle, was it?
Yeah, it was Carlisle. Yeah.
For me, it'd be a bit too early. We're very much welcoming any bets on him at the moment because a lot to be unfolded yet in that race.
And for the two of you, really, are there any kind of unexpected names that have really come to the fore in this early part of the season?
I mean, for me, I wouldn't necessarily say unexpected, but it was great to see Onwar Alen win at Dam Royal, wasn't it? That was his 10th grade one in the Ladbrokes Championship.
Can I just say lovely pronunciation, by the way?
Au revoir, Alain.
Is that GCSE French coming out there?
Exactly, yeah. I've won 10 grade ones across six different seasons. He's been an absolute legend of the National Hunt game. And that's what we love about National Hunt racing. These horses just keep coming back, don't they? So that was great to see. Another one that caught my eye over the weekend was Only by Night. So that horse won the Barbastown Castle Chase at Nace in pretty gritty fashion, to be fair, just running down Champ Kylie of Willie Mullins's. She's been clipped into 6-1 for the Mayor's Chase. She'd definitely be a contender in that if they choose to go that route at Cheltenham. But I know Connections do have one eye potentially on the Champion Chase. She's a 33-1 shot for that. She would get £7 mayor's allowance. And interestingly, the Champion Chaser has come out of that race the last 2 years in Marine National and Captain Guinness. So yeah, they were two performances I probably enjoyed the most to start the season.
Orlando, anything standing out for you early doors?
Yeah, the Charlie Hall Chase at Wetherby a couple of weekends ago was a really good battle. Jello and Pick Dory just slogging it up the home straight. That was a good battle to watch.
That'll put hairs on your chest, won't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Not literally for me. Okay, that's great, guys. That's a lot of names to note down there. And I'll make sure, listeners, that I'll get the lads to write up all those names that have come out of today's conversation. And we will publish them on members.fitstairs.com. So do look out for that. We've talked about some big races and some big targets. So let's settle into the mystic mood and look ahead. Henry, I know you're a pro at this by now. Orlando, just explain this for your benefit. We're going to do crystal ball calls now. And a crystal ball call is something where you're so certain it's going to happen. It's like it's meant to be. So looking ahead at this weekend in my crystal ball, I've just got a funny feeling that the fax machine at Seven Barrows is going to be whirring. You know, it's one of those things. It's a gut feeling. And gut feeling is something that we should recognise in the science of sports betting. It definitely has a place. My gut is telling me that the deluge of rain that we're going to see for the rest of this week is going to see some action on that fax machine. So that's mine. Henry, I'm going to come to you now.
Maybe on a similar note, potentially, Lola, to yours, I think John Bon, who is entered in the Schlur Chase this weekend, I think at Christmas we'll see him running in the King George. I think he'll be stepping up in trip. I suspect he'll probably scramble home here. It's not a particularly strong field on Friday. He'll then get beaten in the Tingle Creek at the beginning of December over 2 miles and then step up over Christmas for the King George. I think Nicky's always been wanting to try him out over a trip. So let's see what happens there.
Wow, have you been taking clairvoyant training or something? That seems like you've got a very clear idea into the future there.
I have no idea what clairvoyant means.
I actually think that might be someone that talks to dead people, but we'll just gloss over that. And I want to ask you, what price is John Bon with Fitstairs if anyone wanted to back him for the King George?
So currently 14-1. Might see a bit of movement on that price depending on what happens obviously over the weekend.
I agree. I'd love to see him in the King George. If he runs in a King George, does he also run in a Champion Chase? Probably not.
No. I think,
and we'd love to see him finally get his nose in front of the Champion Chase, wouldn't we?
Guys, we're getting ahead of ourselves with all that Cheltenham talk.
No Cheltenham chat.
But I do promise you we will talk about it at some point today, but it's time to get you back on the bridle. Orlando, can I have your crystal ball call, please?
Yeah, I'm not loving my crystal ball, but it is telling me that the Irish are going to kind of plunder the big pots this weekend in the November meeting.
Well, I would say don't worry about malfunctioning crystal balls. We'll hope yours is malfunctioning from a British perspective, because Henry's wasn't working last week either.
It's tough. It's a tough gig.
I'd like to point out for our listeners, mine was in perfect working order when I predicted that Sunderland would bring an end to Arsenal's 9-game streak of not conceding a goal. But that is matters in the northeast, and we are focused on matters very much in the southwest of England and specifically in Cheltenham. And just a stone's throw from Cheltenham, our Fitstairs ambassador, Ben Pauling, has enjoyed a brilliant start to the season. In fact, the last 2 weeks, he's had a strike rate of 31%. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Ben about all his runners at Cheltenham this weekend. Welcome back. If you'd like to place a bet on any event discussed on this show, it's pretty easy. Just visit fitstairs.com. We have a new app as well as telephone and text betting service. If you give us a call, you can get a price on any market as well as special bets. 020 7851 5407 is the number, or text the office on 07492 882 213. You'll have to be over 18 and please bet responsibly, but if you do give us a call, you might get to talk to the lovely Orlando. Right, it's all going pretty swimmingly so far in Naunton Downs. We've mentioned Ben's brilliant strike rate, with a couple of big hitters already making an impression. So let's hear from him now as his team gears up for this weekend's November meeting.
Lola, I hope you're well. So a sort of run through of our horses over the weekend, or in Cheltenham in particular. So King of the Road will definitely run in the Conditional Jockeys Handicap Hurdle. He's in very good form. He had a prep run for this race. I'm very pleased with where he is, and he should get in. He's not guaranteed, but he needs sixth to come out to get in. As Legends Has It will also be aimed at the race and will be declared if possible. He also ran a very nice race the other day at Uttoxeter as a prep run for this. So looking forward to those two. Those two are the only two we've got on Friday at Cheltenham. It's a quiet enough day for us at Cheltenham. On Saturday, we've got Sound and Fury and Take All. They'll probably both run in the amateur chase on the Saturday. Take All hasn't run for a little while, but has been prepped for this race. And Sound and Fury won up at Carlisle the other day and hasn't been not too much in the handicap. So they go there with decent chances. Bad in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Had a prep run at Kempton, which he won, and goes there in very good order. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. Rock Sensation will run in the Mare's Listed Bumper. She's been named at this. She's in good form herself as well. And on Sunday, Forge in the Novice Handicap Chase. Again, another horse specifically be named at this race. It's first time over fences, so you always got to hope they jump well enough to jump around Cheltenham. But he seems in good order, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on. He's a nice horse. I think this is a very suitable race for him. After that, you've got Fiercely Proud in the Greatwood Hurdle. We went there last year. We rode him too cold, and I'm looking forward to seeing how we get on with him, ridden a bit more positively. And then possibly Eclat de Marvel in the Bumper on Sunday. He's a nice horse that's come from Ireland, done everything right at home, but we'll see if we're going to go there or not nearing the time. So those are probably our Cheltenham runners for this week.
Thank you very much, Ben. I'll come to you, Henry, first. What do you reckon Ben's best chance of a winner is this weekend?
I think the one that I find probably most interesting is Bad in the feature, the Paddy Power Gold Cup. I know we're going to talk about that race in a bit more detail in a couple of minutes, but he does fit plenty of the trends. He's got a lovely racing weight in here off 145, I think. He's had a prep run as well at Kempton. I don't think they'd want to see loads of rain for it.
We have got a lot of rain in the forecast.
There is a lot of rain forecast. I don't think they want it bottomless, but he does have some form on soft ground in France in his early days. And do you remember the horse being really well punted for the Fred Winter, the Boodles juvenile handicap a couple of years ago at Cheltenham? Went off something like 9-2. They've always thought this horse was really good. He's got his quirks, but he's now showing he can get his head in front over fences. And I think he's just interesting in here for Ben. So,
well, Alan, did you want to come in?
I did. I completely agree with everything you said, and he's interesting and he is getting better, but he can just turn up and live to his namesake and just be very bad sometimes. And unfortunately for Ben, you never know which one's going to turn up.
Can bad be good?
Yes,
on Saturday is the big question. Not a tip by any means. I just think that's probably Ben's most interesting runner of the weekend. And you say he's absolutely flying at the moment. So definitely wouldn't be a shock to see him in the first four.
Can I ask a broader question to the two of you, National Hunt boffins, anoraks?
National Hunters.
Yeah, National Hunters. Ben's been knocking at the door now for a couple of seasons of that really elite company of trainers. What, in your minds, does he have to do to really take that next step and be considered alongside the likes of Nicky Henderson and Paul Nicholls at the very top of the British training game?
Well, I think, you know, he's getting the season-long numbers that they are now, sort of 100, 150 winners a season. But it is those grade ones and those Cheltenham winners, which he does have, obviously, but consistently getting them. And, you know, this is obviously a very exciting season for him, probably his most exciting season, because we are mentioning his name more often in those grade ones. You've got the Betfair Chase coming up. He has Handstands potentially running there, so that's exciting. The Jukebox Man's, his stable star, was very sadly injured after Christmas last year. So yeah, he's got exciting horses coming back. So I think just repetitively competing in those grade ones is probably the key for him.
Orlando, you mentioned Handstands. That horse has come out at Carlisle and been beaten. Ben has, you know, reading between the lines of what he said, not in that voice note there, but just historically always spoken in very high regard about this horse. Is 6-1 for the Betfair Chase, is that looking like too short of a price in your eyes after the Carlisle effort?
No, I think that's probably about right. I think, ideally he would have won at Carlisle, but it was quite an odd four-runner race. Obviously, first run of the season, I think the idea of getting a bit of fitness into the horse. So, yeah, if you're a big fan, you would have liked him to win, but I don't think it's the end of the world.
I think, yeah, to that point, I think they probably were pretty happy with the effort at Carlisle. Yeah. That was by no means the kind of main target. Got some fitness into him, as Orlando said. Probably needed the run. And I don't think that 6-1 price would be particularly shorter had he won at Carlisle. No. I don't think it sort of proved or disproved anything that day at Carlisle. Also worth noting as well that there's another 5 furlongs at Haydock. That was over 2.5 miles at Carlisle. And albeit it's a very stiff finish there, but I think he'll relish step up in trip. They do think of him as a 3-miler, I think.
Yeah.
No harm in needing a run. Right.
Happen to the best of us.
Yeah. Let's turn our attentions to this weekend now and start with the Schlur Chase on Friday. Orlando, John Bonn is expected to appear in the Schlur this weekend, and he is expected to make it 3 from 3 in this race. It's going to be a familiar lineup with Edward Stone and Boot Hill in the field. He's 6-4 on at the time of recording. I'm going to keep it simple here. Is it a formality?
For me, it really is, yeah. Say what you want about him at the Cheltenham Festival, but one of the best horses in training, and he's just a machine. And this is, you know, it's Nicky Anderson through and through. He'll just go and...
Henry, you're smiling.
Orlando is chairman of the John Bonn fan club. It's something that you have to remember. He's a huge fan. No matter how many times he lets him down at the Cheltenham Festival, he still remains loyal to him. I suppose we could run through some of the prices, some of the others in here.
Please do.
John Bonn 4-6, Lodisard 4-1. We've seen a bit of money for him, haven't we, over the last day, actually, given the forecast. Liberty Hunter 8-1, another kind of regular in these big 2-mile chases. And then you've got Edward Stone 10-1, Boot Hill 12-1.
So of those names you've mentioned, it's obviously not John Bonn's first rodeo coming up against some of these guys. Sometimes I wonder with poor Edward Stone, he must just be so used to seeing the behind of John Bonn.
Sick of the sight of John Bonn.
Jumping on the distance. I think
Edward Stone's connections probably have a picture of John Bonn on their darts board.
But you've got a picture of John Bonn on your wall.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
He's beaten these guys a fair few times. He's beaten Edward Stone 7 times.
Hmm.
Are we going to learn anything about John Bonn this weekend with regard to future targets? And I say that because having a look at his price for the Champion Chase, I was quite shocked to see that he was 14-1. That must be his biggest price ever for that race.
It is, yeah, because he's definitely got some better opposition looking to make their way to that race. But none of them are turning up in this Schlur Chase. So I think, to be honest, he could win by 10 lengths. He could win by half a length. I think he'll still be 14-1 after the weekend for the Champion Chase.
Well, you'll be hoping that he absolutely flies home, won't you?
Yeah.
Let's move on to the other big race of the weekend from a betting perspective. And it's the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Ben Pauling, of course, fields 14-1 shot bad here. Henry, do you want to fire away with the rest of the prices? And I believe you've also got some trends up your sleeve.
Yeah, so I kind of rattled through the top few in the market. Jaguar, the festival plate winner last season, is 7-2 favourite at the time of recording. Last year's winner, Il Rodotto, next in, 9-2. Vincenzo for Sam Thomas, 6-1. Panic Attack for the Skelton, 7-1. And then Irish Raider, coming up easy, 10-1. Bad, 14-1. And then it's 16-1 bar.
Thanks for that. And do you want to fire away with those trends as well?
Yeah, so I sort of picked out a few things that I thought were interesting earlier. The Irish actually don't have a good record in this race. They've only won one of the past 23 renewals, which is surprising, I think, for many, given their domination at Cheltenham over the past few seasons. I think it's interesting to note that 9 of the past 12 winners have carried 11 stone or less, so you're looking for something probably away from the top of the handicap here. 10 of the past 12 winners have had a run this season. I think this is really interesting. So that would be a negative for the favourite, Jaguar. But in fairness, not that many of them have had a run this season because, as Orlando alluded to earlier, the ground just hasn't been, it's not been soft enough for a lot of these to have a prep run. So that's interesting. This isn't necessarily particularly sort of left field, but always watch out for Paul Nicholls in this race. He's got a really good recent record. He's won the last 2 renewals with Stage Star and Il Rodotto. I think it's 14 of his last 49 runners have placed in this race. So worth keeping an eye on him.
There is another trend in this race, which is worth mentioning, and it's something that Chris Cook alluded to in his article in the Racing Post yesterday about the importance of front running and prominent racers at Cheltenham, and particularly in this race. Is it as simple as the pace makes this race?
I think his point there was that fundamentally it's difficult to make up ground in these big handicaps where there's no hiding place, they go quickly, and jumping at pace, if you're sort of making mistakes, particularly around Cheltenham, it's going to be really difficult to make up ground. I think he alluded to Garlaw, who won this race in 2022. I believe.
It's like an encyclopedia.
he came from off the pace. Brilliant ride by Johnny Burke is what everybody will tell you for Jamie Snowden. But I think he was sort of saying you do need a bit of luck. You need things to fall your way if you're going to sort of sit tight and wait for the gaps to kind of appear. I don't know about you, Orlando. Around Cheltenham, I always like a horse that's kind of up there and jumping well. Don't think the bias is quite as strong on this old course as it is on the new course. I mean, front runners, particularly over this trip on the new course, have a phenomenal record.
Let's just take a pull on that line of discussion.
Talk about
for a
it
second.
For hours.
I just want to ask you guys, are there some names that you can throw at me that are just kind of not necessarily jumping off the page, but are there in your thinking for this race as maybe interesting horses?
Yeah, for me, I can't really look past Il Redotto for Paul Nicholls. As Henry said, he loves the race, got a great record on it, and they've been targeting it ever since their victory in it last year. He's had a prep run, which, as we know, is good for the trends. He didn't actually win in that, but without throwing Harry Cobden under the bus too much, he probably could have if he wanted to.
Yeah, I thought it was a lovely, lovely pipe opener at Chepstow.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't throw jockeys under the bus here.
No, and I'm not. Yeah, it was a lovely prep run, and he's back down to a very similar mark, only £1 higher than he was last year. I think if the rain comes, but not too badly, I think he'll be bang on the money.
Henry, can I come to you about the favourite, Jaguar 72? Is that kind of a logical way into this race? Because you've alluded to it before that the favourite doesn't fit with some of the trends. Mm. Can you see that favourite getting beat here?
Well, yeah, he's not had a prep run, which usually you'd say is a negative. It's quite difficult to know what the target is with him. Connections obviously have a brilliant record at targeting those handicap chases at the festival and beyond. I think you'd have to say here, though, he's in off, what is he, 1.48. If he goes and wins this comfortably, would you not have to come into the kind of Ryanair picture?
Yeah, you can't. You're out the handicap.
Don't think he can run in handicaps again after this.
What price is he for the Ryanair currently?
It's probably 33-1 shot. Now, if he wins this, I mean, this is very left field, but if he was to go and win this pretty comfortably, yeah, I could definitely see that price kind of halving, and it could be an outside chance in that race.
Until he walks to the festival and bumps into his old friend Factor File.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really hot race. Handicapped to grade one's obviously very different.
Orlando, talk to me about, you know, Henry's just described the process of when, not necessarily just with left field shouts, but just when any horse at this stage in the season comes out and kind of does something that contravenes expectations. What's that process like of bringing a horse in for a big race later in the season? What do you have to take into account? How do you come to those decisions?
I think you sort of sit around and you have a good chat about it. You form the opinions. Something like the Ryanair is quite good fun trying to make the odds because it's so far away and you've got so many different variables. But I think it's a sort of form an opinion and then listen to your punters, what they're backing, because obviously you'd like to have quite an even book. You don't want anything too lopsided. So always stick to your opinions, but don't die on the hill for them, because you don't want to turn up to the Ryanair in 6-7 months' time and have one horrible-looking result that's been backed in from 33s into 4s or 5s. Listen to the punters, because they know best.
It's fascinating to hear what you get up to on the other side of the office. Look, guys, we're going to have to move on now, but if I had to press you both just for one name in this race, Henry, I'll come to you first. What would you be going for?
I really like Vincenzo for Sam Thomas. He's absolutely flying at the moment. He's had 5 winners from his last 9 runners heading into Cheltenham.
Is that Sam Thomas's team flying?
Yes, Sam Thomas's team is flying, yeah. This horse has form on soft ground, so if the rain does come, I'm not worried about that at all. And yeah.
What price?
He is currently 6-1.
Plenty of bite in that, Orlando.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Il Redotto is the one for me.
Okie dokie. We're going to move on to talk about one more big race that's coming up very soon, not at Cheltenham. It's at Haydock in the northwest of England, my favourite part of the world. Now, every Saturday until Christmas is shaping up to be packed with brilliant racing, and we've got tons of great grade ones to come, but the Betfair Chase is looming large on the agenda on the 22nd of November. Guys, I'm going to make this easy for you. Is Royal Pagai going to win again?
It would be brilliant to see. What would that be? Third in the row? Yeah. He performs at his best when he's got his swimming trunks on. He'll need a lot of rain. And he just loves a slog round Haydock. But I do think that the Antipode's favourite, Grey Dawning.
What price is that?
I think he's 11-8 at the moment. I think he's his best horse in the race. He didn't win this race last year. It almost ruined his season, could you say?
Yeah, it can happen though. Horses can leave their sort of seasons behind at Haydock. Remember, the ground was desperate.
I mean, it was so heavy, and he
just... It can happen at Haydock.
Yeah, he never really got over it. And I think Dan Skelton will be eyeing this up all year. So I think it would be the favourite for me.
Henry?
Royal Pegasus is an interesting one, isn't he? Because do you remember Bristol Demai a few years ago? Won three Betfair Chases as well. Some horses just love
Haydock.
They
just love it, yeah.
He was an also...
Don't blame them. Lovely part of the world.
Can't say I've ever been, actually. It's on the list.
Yeah.
He was also a bit of a mudlark. Does favour those horses that like soft ground. I actually really like Haiti Couleur if he takes his chance up here. He's currently 4-1 shot for Rebecca Curtis.
Okay, that's the Betfair Chase knocked on the head. Plenty to look forward to there. We're going to wrap up by looking at the big picture, and that is the rest of the season. Orlando, this must be a really interesting time for you working on the trading side of the business, because punters are kind of, or National Hunt punters are coming out of hibernation, and we're going to mention the C word again, already getting their plans in place for Cheltenham and beyond Aintree. Have we taken any interesting bets of an anti-post nature looking ahead later in the season?
Yeah, we had quite a lot of interest on Lulamba to win the Arkle. It was announced earlier this week by Nicky Henderson and the Seven Barrows team that he was indeed going novice chasing, which I think for any National Hunt fan is really exciting. You love it when these good horses sort of move up onto the chasing scene. Yeah, a few Fitstairs punters got there before the news arrived from Nicky Henderson, so they got a good price. So that was the big sort of anti-post movement for us.
He's clipped into 4-1 now. Like you said, I know that Arkle looks an absolute cracker. I mean, we are, albeit sort of 6 months away, but could be an absolutely brilliant race.
Well, the countdown starts this weekend, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, started a while ago.
We've then got Lulamba actually coming out in a beginner's chase at Exeter on Monday, which looks a really hot race. Got a couple of other good novice chases. So yeah, that'll be his first test over fences.
Just on that, on the trading side of the biz, is this the most exciting time of the year?
It is, because it's, as we say, is when National Hunt Racing is waking up and people are having their very speculative Cheltenham bets. But that glorious week in March is the best week of the year for any trader at Fitstairs. Yeah, no, we're a close second this time of the year, I'd say.
Well, I think this weekend's going to be really exciting. Mm. But I would like to point out that last season was the first time since 2012-13 that no Cheltenham Festival winner ran at the November meeting.
Wow.
Do you think we're going to see some big movers this weekend?
Yeah, you'd hope so. I hope that trend gets bucked, because it didn't used to be the case. And it is good seeing those top quality horses coming out this weekend. And I think we will see that.
Orlando just wants to see John Bond win the Schlaer and the Champion Chase. We get it.
This is his year. up the John Bond.
I mean, I feel the same about Royal Pagai. Just such a gutsy animal. Mm. We're just going to round up now with one name, and that is one horse for the rest of the season. Doesn't necessarily have to be one that you think is going to have its name up in lights. Just a really interesting horse that you'll be following closely for the rest of the season, and why. Orlando.
Yep, I have got a novice hurdler from Paul Nichols's yard called No Drama This End, who is actually running in the novice hurdle on Friday. So straight in there. He won his bumper at Warwick last year. He was then down the field in the champion bumper at the festival. Bit of a bumper car race, so wouldn't look into that too much. But I know they think the world of it, and they've definitely got festival ambitions with it. Maybe with the Challow hurdle in the meantime, between now and then. Be very interesting to see his debut on Friday.
Henry?
Push me for one. One only.
Yeah, well, those are the rules, and we don't like people who break the rules on this podcast.
No, we don't. It's not going to shock anybody who knows me that I'm going to put up a horse to follow as a Willie Mullins horse. I actually just think Game of Inches sent off a pretty short price for the champion bumper after one really, really impressive start. Navin, I think it was, didn't give his running in the champion bumper at all, and then kind of disappointed at Punchtown as well, but he's a huge, rangy type. I definitely want to trip. Could see him running in all those good novice hurdles over 2.5 miles in Ireland this season. And then could be pitching up in the Turner's novice hurdle at Cheltenham, which is a 20-1 price at the moment. So
hopefully my horse and Henry's horse do both end up in that race.
That would be great to come back to this episode.
Yeah,
we will.
His Game of Inches just goes past on the bridle.
And do remember that you can find all these names. We'll put them on members.fitstairs.com in a nice article for you. So do have a look and bookmark that page and refer back to it. Thank you very much, guys. That was Odds Law. I've been your host, Lola Katz-Roberts, and a huge thank you to our veteran chaser, Henry Beasley, once again. You're still just about clearing those obstacles. You've got a lot of gumption, but it's getting harder, isn't it?
I wouldn't say that, Lola. I still feel like I'm just hitting my stride. Still getting better.
Orlando, on the other hand, super impressive debut, flying
very
over.
Kind. Definitely clattered the first few, but we got there.
Your price is definitely shortening for another appearance on this show. thank you very much for making the trek across the office to join us. We will be back next week with more odds, more debate, and more shenanigans. Thank you very much.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.